WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven. Myself, Prestige, with my partner in crime, Long Island Rays, Elm City Maid, EZ Blues is in the building. Normally, he does the introductions for Behind the Brand, but let me take a little crack at this. The truest definition of supergroup, Shame Penguin, comes from two countries, three states, to form one of the most dynamic sounds in recent history. Giving you some great independent music today on Behind the Brand, Shame Penguin. Welcome, guys. I want to start off with not my co-host, but Tristan Powell is from France.
Whoa.
Jumped from the pond at a young age. Art in all his glory has filled his young heart and driven him to any forms of expression. John is from Chicago, is where Johnny's origin story begins. His paramedic conscience, John has a true gift in talking in enigmatic ways and the art driven from his heart. John's a good guy. My phone froze. I had a lot of great things to say, but when I talk about John, every time I have a conversation with John, that's a great human being. He's intelligent. He always gives you something to know about. He always gives you something to learn from. And John is pretty much a great person in the group. Kenny, he's with us in spirit. He's the great drummer of the band of Shame Penguin, and he is the silent but awesome type of the group. Is that best thing to say, gentlemen?
Otherwise known as everybody's favorite member.
Everybody's favorite member. Now, let's start off with the first question. Why is he everybody's favorite member?
All right. I'm going to start this out with two ways to look at it. One is from the inside of the band. One is from the outside of the band.
Okay.
From internal of the band. For anyone who's played in bands before, you know there's so many jokes about drummers and bassists and singers and everyone, et cetera. And like the through line of all those jokes is that musicians are jokers. They don't got their stuff together generally. Kenny is the most considerate and prepared drummer that I've ever played with. Dude writes our set lists by hand. He brings us bottles of water. He checks in with us during the show, like straight up. That dude, the phrase I always say at practice is Kenny is always there on the one. He's there for us when we need him. But from the outside, since y'all don't get to see that, the thing that everyone does love him for, and this includes my wife, who also says Kenny is her favorite member, is that dude is just smiley. That dude is just a great drummer, and like we try to show a little bit of, you know, the love that we're all about. And with Kenny, it's easy. You see it on his face, you hear it in his rhythms.
Well, I don't think anything you say better than that. You got anything to top that, guys?
No. He just took everything I usually say and regurgitated.
No, it's true. Like, Kenny is just a great human being. And, you know, we didn't really get the comparison. Like, mentally, I guess we were making the comparisons. But if anyone who's watched the Get Back amazing documentary, you know, what Ringo Starr is to the Beatles, and I can say this because we're not bigger than anything, Kenny is 100% to Shane Penguin. Like, he's just the coolest dude and the most relaxed. And in practice or at a show, if I do something a little bit off, just to see a smile on his face makes your entire day. You're like, everything's going to be good. Kenny's smiling. You know, I made Kenny laugh today. That's dope. And it's a great experience.
Now, since Kenny's the Ringo, easy. Are you the Paul? Is Tristan John Lennon? Or John George Harrison?
Got on.
I think that's actually how it broke down. I wound up getting Paul by default. But I think, isn't it? Because we just talked about this in practice on Monday. Is that, that's how we broke down the dynamic? I mean, and again, we sound nothing like the Beatles. We are not the Beatles. We are not claiming to be as good as or as big as, nothing like that. I was just using that as, most people have seen the Get Back documentary, so it was an easy way to explain who Kenny was. For those that are angry on their boards right now going, oh my God, he said he's better than the Beatles. Never said. Didn't say that. Please go back now.
But for those who are just being introduced to you guys for the very first time, please tell us again, our audience, how you guys meet up. How did this great superpowers just combine to make this awesome team of music? Tristan, I want to hear your point.
There you go.
You're the first one who smiled.
Usually.
I guess I'm the second smiliest of the band after Kenny. Gotcha. So we were all part of the Rock Lottery, which is an event that takes place probably in a bunch of different cities, but the New Haven area has one where, you know, all the local musicians get together, put your name in a hat, draw it out, what instrument you play, and then good luck to you after that, basically, you know, form a band and throw some fist fights, enjoy it, and try to make some good sounds out of it. And so I was playing in a band whose name I don't remember at the moment. Dustin, do you remember? It was
Hector the Innocent.
Yeah, Hector the Innocent. And then you guys were in, you two were in another band together, which was?
Yeah. We were called the Chess Rockwells.
The Chess Rockwells. Thank you.
Yeah. And I was playing drums for that band. It was a real interesting kind of trial by fire for, you know, meeting Dusty and I, like, both of us have a little bit of, like, what we're throwing out there is not necessarily someone people are going to catch on the first throw. We did, like, connect, though, and it was great. And after that happened, you know, Dusty and Tristan were meeting up, and they were talking about, like, getting some songs together, and they really wanted to work through a band. And, you know, Easy texted me. It was like, hey, man, I'm working on this thing. Do you want to join in? And I was like, yes, but do not make me play drums. I'm way more comfortable playing bass. And Easy's like, don't worry, we got it covered. And they did, because Kenny Marazzi was there. And since day one, he's been there on the one.
Yeah. You weren't even the first choice for the bassist. You know that?
Oh, yeah?
You wasn't. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it wasn't even a choice aspect. There was somebody who connected, was like, oh, you need to do this. And like, because I was talking, I think, on the phone with you while I was supposed to be working at a job. And somebody had overheard me talking. He's like, oh, I play bass and yada, yada, yada. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to send you these tracks. And he messages me back. He's like, do you have charts? Because I don't understand these chord progressions at all. And I was like, well, it's not for you, sir. It's not for you. And that was like our first. That was even before we had material to bring Kenny through. Yep. You know, we had like two songs that we somewhat worked out on my couch. So it was some dude who just was like, oh, I totally want to do this. And then in the reality was like, there's no way this is going to happen. I was like, I know somebody though, because really the key thing is in my head, how the whole thing played out. The first time I sat down and practiced with the Chess Rockwells, John and I automatically connected on a performance and an understanding of mechanics aspect. Like, out of everyone in the Chess Rockwells, from jump, I knew I could make eye contact with John. We could lock in. And then maybe our opinion might be poo-pooed initially, but because we were so locked in on our groove, people were like, okay, this is a good idea. And I was like, okay, this is somebody whose energy I really dig. Mm-hmm. And then seeing Tristan play with Hector the Innocent. Now, and for those who don't know, Tristan is 6'4". And to see him on the Cafe 9 stage, which is already elevated, and at the one point he had these devil horns on, and he's just headbanging, and he winds up hitting the wall with the horn, and the horn breaks, and it was that moment I was like, this is the energy that I want on stage with me, because I am completely psychotic. So I need to have more people to fan those flames of ridiculousness. And that's, I was like, this is the energy that I want. And from jump, like Kenny and I had talked about, and it was actually Storytime Bob who suggested that I start working with Kenny. And, you know, I was like, okay, cool. And I just, you know, had him in the cut for when something was going to pop off. And initially, it was supposed to work on like some of the Easy Blues tunes, but that wasn't the feel of this. And I'm so much more into the feel of something. Don't get me wrong. Those Easy Blues tunes are recorded incredibly well. They are perfectly timed. They are a representation of trying to fit something that doesn't necessarily fit into a square peg, you know, a square peg in a round hole. You know, there's a lot of interesting stuff on there, but it's not a proper representation. It was a way to try to compromise to understand an industry. And it's a gorgeous attempt, but there's such a realness to it. Mm-hmm. And I knew from jump, these were people that even if we never played music, I wanted to connect with on like almost an eternal level, if that makes sense, as I get all hippy dippy.
Did it feel like college for a second time?
I never had a first, so needless to
say. High five. I mean, my first time going to college was like a community college, and my 900th time going to college is like a community college, so I didn't necessarily have those aspects of it. Imagine going through like some really, really tough things and being able to put it through artistically, and feel so safe and so comfortable with three other human beings that you can honestly put your soul into something and to be as vulnerable as humanly possible. And to know that as you get that vulnerable, these people are not only there to have your back, but if necessary, stab the thing that's trying to kill you. And it's a beautiful thing. So.
Easy. I'm real glad that you sort of contrasted this with your solo work. And, you know, you described that, like the one word that I really hung on to is like compromise. And it was cool thinking about that because like when it comes down to it, the only compromises that we make in this very strange band of Shane Penguin, the only compromises we make are to each other. It's like we want to make sure that each other is comfortable here, but there is never any sense of like, this is too weird for the world. I can't play this for the guys. Cause like that's never happened. There's never been something where it's like, oh, I don't know if they're going to do this. Like the weirdest thing that might happen or the closest we get is Tristan being like, man, John, why is your chord progression sound so like cyclical? Or I might say like, Tristan, like why can we, what can we tie the end of this to the front of it? I want to make it cyclical, I guess, but,
your natural writing style, John.
We make for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's interesting that you do that when you write because you write differently than a lot of other musicians I've played with, and it allows me to kind of change the way I normally would write. So when you hear a song that I started, it'll be something more like, I don't know if anybody's familiar with it, it would be like Hemingway or Live in Technicolor, which is one of our singles, while Mountain King started off because of that bass line you had. And what your bass lines kind of do this like little roundabout thing, which is very confusing to the way I create. So when, like naturally, I mean, so when I have your bass lines to paint on top of, it's like going from painting onto a standard 4x4 canvas to like learning how to do a fresco, you know what I mean, on a wall in plaster. You're like, let's do it, let's figure it out. And they come out beautiful, right? So Michelangelo's coming out of here. Yeah.
The fresco thing's for real though, because like the way that this guy constructs his guitar parts adds like this third dimensionality to like weird, unexpected things happening, just like sending a clue to a harmonic direction we might not actually go. But you know, like it really is rewarding to practice this stuff every week, because like I got reintroduced to the songs, it feels like every time, which is incredible. Yeah.
What's really incredible that I really like about you guys is your artwork. Tristan, you do an amazing job just creating the designs and different materials just for the band. Just tell me about I just want to go a little bit inside your mind, what came up with those designs and like why the anime. Maybe you can say the safest way you can, because I see you turn red.
I was going to say, we can go inside your mind, but remember, we are on terrestrial radio, yes. And it needs to be DMTV version of it, okay? And we don't have the subtitles, so come on, bro. Like, yeah. Saying.
You guys don't have the security clearance anyways, trust me. I'm sorry, what was the question exactly about my art? What do you want to know? Other than wanting to be in my brain?
I just want to know, like, just ride the anime design. I think it's really cool for your band, because like one of the first
things
was Technicolor, how you just put that design and mesh it together. I know it was like a whole bunch of old school anime shows, but like,
well, okay, that, hold on. That was actually done by Zach Anderson. And he actually does these amazing, they're called, I think AMV. Video
AMVs.
Yeah. And he competes with them. So I, from a marketing point of view, because there is like, I like to take some marketing risks. I knew that if we went to him with that song, he was going to be able to do one of these. And my hope was he'd be able to enter it into contests. He'd feel so comfortable in it. So we were going to get more plays. Because that's really what everything breaks down in my head is how can we get this incredible art out organically, but also a little bit different. Like, I'm not going to be the person that knocks on radio's doors or stuff like that. I want the subculture to pick up on it. I want the people who really need to hear this music be able to get it. And you don't necessarily, not knocking anyone's hustle.
Okay.
I respect everyone's hustle, but you don't necessarily get that by going to the different radio stations over and over again, because 9 times out of 10 people are listening on their Spotify playlist. Let's be real.
So we just went really off the rails on the original question. You want me to get back to the art?
Yeah, go back to the original. I just wanted to specify that.
We're just leaving that in the dust now, because I don't mind either way. the original design for Shame Penguin, also Shame the Penguin, comma Penguin, yes. is a Okinawan Yakuza style based off of like those Beat Takeshi films and stuff. I don't know if you've ever seen any of his movies. Really cool Japanese stuff. I'm a big, I guess the word is weeb, maybe. I love anime and Japanese culture and stuff. That's where Zach and I got along with that too, because we, like, one of the biggest influences I have is J-Rock, just as like different bands like Gatsuno Kiwami Otome and L'Arc-en Ciel and all these weird J-Rock bands that, you know, now have become a lot more popular in America, but for a long time weren't really around. They just gave me something different to listen to that I didn't really hear in other Western music. You know what I mean? It kind of like helps you create a new like path for you to sonically develop as a musician when you listen to something that catches your ear and, you know, kind of grips you in the heart, but also is like way out of your comfort zone for something. Because like, if you think about it, they listen to Western music, got influenced by that, created their own path. And then I listened to their path from the Western path and kind of brought it back over to the West. See what I mean? Does that make sense?
But, it makes perfect sense. NHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven, myself, Prestige, and my partner in crime, Long Island Rays, Elm City Made, EZ Blues is in the building. With the rest of his brothers, rest of his family, Shame Penguin is here. They got a show this Saturday at the Space Ballroom. Unfortunately, it's going to be Wata's last show on the East Coast. He's moving to the West Coast, but you guys get to open the show. You got the nice little artwork right there. It's going to be in the Space Ballroom in Hampden, Connecticut. Doors open what time, Easy? About 6 o'clock, I believe.
7 p.m. The doors open at 7 p.m. It's going to be chilly that day, so make sure you get there at 7 p.m. So you don't have to wait out there too long. But I will say, I'm going to be there early, and when we wrap out sound check, I will go outside, and if there are people standing online, I will take pictures. I will high-five you just because it's awesome, and we really would appreciate y'all coming out as early as possible. Doors at 7, we go on at 7:30.
To take pictures with.
Yes, we will also have emotional support penguins for everybody. You know, it's a tough time for everybody, and we want to make sure that everyone knows that you can hug your emotional support penguin. I don't know. We're not going to have enough for everybody because supposedly there's like 300 people coming. But we'll have enough for those that, you know, actually want them.
One thing I love about all three of you guys, actually about the whole group entirely, is your promo game. You guys never are shy away from it, especially when it comes to the penguins. Whose idea was it to bring the penguin every single show, every concert, every merch booth? Whose idea was it within the group?
I might give that to Kenny, right?
Yeah, it was Kenny. It was by accident.
Yeah, he has the regular size penguin there, right? That we keep on his drums. So that was the first one that really came to all the shows, I believe. Yeah. So yeah. Kenny kind of just started that, and then we just started adding more and more penguins. One of my girlfriends bought me the giant 4-foot penguin we got, and then I left it with Kenny. I was like, take care of him. And you know, then we got like a bunch of mini penguins each of us carries on like our guitar amps and stuff. And there's more and more and more and more. We're waiting to find the big 9-foot penguin. And
I can see it happening.
It's going to get crazy, man. It's going to get crazy.
I got to see you guys dressing up that penguin too.
That's kind of how it all started. We were playing one of our our second show. We got called on by Zombie to open up at Stella Blues. There was Babe Patrol, which was a touring act from New York. By the way, phenomenal punk band. Go check out Babe Patrol. They're awesome. But Kenny shows up with this stuffed penguin, and it's me. So I'm like, I'm going to carry this penguin with me throughout the entire bar just because I can. And to see if it's, you know, I want to be silly, you know. It is what it is. No one had ever heard of us before. It just, to me, was funny. So I'm walking through the bar, and people are talking to me, and like, oh, that penguin's so cool. I'm like, well, we're going to be playing. We're Shane Penguin. This is it. And I'm outside on the patio, whatever, getting some fresh air. And somebody walks up and be like, excuse me, do you have mental issues? I was like, well, not like diagnosed. and I'm like, why? She's like, well, you're carrying, you know, a penguin in a bar. I was like, I know, I'm in the band Shane Penguin. This is our manager. And she just looks at me really funny. So I just keep messing with her for like 5 minutes. And then we play the set, which was awesome. And I grab the penguin, start dancing around with him, bring him through the bar, because I'm, again, not diagnosed. And then Bay Patrol goes on, and she mentions the penguin. And then she asks to have the penguin and to play with the penguin on stage. And Kenny looks at me. He goes, see, I knew it. I knew this was going to be the most popular thing about the band, and now we have to continue. And it was at that moment where I was like, Jedi Master, teach me your ways. Like, for real. And it really is. Like, Kenny is the most popular member of the band and the most liked. Shame is probably the second, well, definitely the most known member. Mark Lyon has actually talked about walking past 3 sheets and listening to people outside. And then there was this band, and they had a stuffed penguin. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's Shame Penguin. That's my brother's band. Let me talk to you about them right now. So it was an accident, but a happy accident, you know.
That's cool.
I love that. That's the thing that I've loved so much about having this penguin is, like, at first I was like, I was probably maybe the most, like, reluctant to it. But, like, when it comes down to it, every band hates being asked, what do you like? What do you sound like? And no one can answer that question about any other band. And like, look, we're pop music, we're rock music, but we're kind of hard to define generally. But people are like, that band with a penguin, what were they doing? And that is honestly like that mix of like bewilderment and easy identification is like, that's all I could ever want from a mascot, from a brand, from whatever. So, yeah, it's great. It makes the magic happen.
Sells itself.
It really does. You guys have great shows and great performances. What can you say on air has been some of your memorable moments when it comes to performing on stages across Connecticut?
I think the Tour for Life. I had a fine time there, but these gentlemen had a pretty great experience as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the tour for life, first of all, for me, most of our memorable stuff is when something goes horribly wrong on stage during our set, but we still pull it off and people are still like, that was amazing. We're like, that was the best we could do. You know, half the stage lost power. The vocal cut out, but we continued to soldier on and you still loved it. And that's all that matters. So those have moments, but also, like, first of all, the tour for life, the dude that was cooking, I had the best pork chop I've ever had. The pork chop tasted so good. It was the best piece of steak I've ever eaten. You know what I mean? Like, when it's like that, it's like that. That was amazing. Being able to, hang out, with Capadonna for a moment, you know, you and I took a picture, but then again, having one of the coolest thought processes completely by accident, Tristan has drawn one of our shirts, and it's the you know, Where the Penguins Are shirt, and it's all of us in kind of like monster thing, you know, dancing, and we've made the shirt, and Tristan goes, I got to give Capadonna this shirt, and he runs over and he gives it to him, and he actually unrolls it. He goes, "You drew this?" He's like, "I'm gonna wear this. Like, thank you." Like, that was probably the coolest moment I've had so far along this ride. Was to if he does, he does. But to hear him say completely, like, "I this is dope. I like your art. I'm gonna rock your art." It was pretty cool to me.
Yeah, it was a good moment for sure. And he's just a great down to earth guy too. Capitano was a real cool dude.
Oh, absolutely, man.
Kind of a preacher on stage a little bit too, right? He was always telling you, like, follow the way of peace and everything. And I went up to him after I gave him a shout. Like, yeah, you were really inspiring with everything you were saying on stage, and he appreciated that a lot. So,
yeah,
it's cool.
It was a great experience, man. Kenny does a great job with those events. He really does. He puts his heart and soul into it. He makes sure all the artists are great.
I'm wearing the shirt right now.
Yeah, full blast. Yeah.
Funny enough, by accident.
Most definitely. But guys, follow the Mountain King. That's a great video. What was your guys' experience over there? And what was it like just shooting was that your first video ever you guys ever shot, was Follow the Mountain King?
Yeah.
Mm. Actually, technically the only video we've actually shot.
Okay.
Because the other music video was just for Pretzel Time was just a live performance. It was the day that the single dropped. We played at 10 Selden, and the amazing Falconeer Productions was there to capture the moment, and he was able to work some incredible magic. Because look, here's an industry secret. 9 times out of 10, the speed in which it is on the record is not necessarily the speed in which you're going to hear it live.
Mm-hmm.
So that he really worked some magic to sync up our live video with the actual audio for Pretzel Time. So much respect for that. Definitely huge. And we all know how much we love Falconeer and Gil. So beautiful human being. As Tristan says, a living, breathing, walking piece of art.
Do I say that?
Yeah, all the time. Like several. So much I've started quoting you saying. Like,
all right, man. Props to Gil.
So.
Gil does a great job, man. One of my favorite videos was when he did you guys at Cell, which you were talking about. And just the shots he was doing with you guys, it felt so good. He's really good with the quality of his videos. He's just definitely just spot on. And just seeing Easy pour his heart and soul into his performance. I mean, that's the most energetic I ever see Easy Blues is when he's on the stage with you guys. He is like a gymnast. He's a gymnasist, if that's even a word. I can't even like pronounce it. But he's the best athlete I ever seen when it comes to him performing on stage. He sweats, puts his heart and soul, runs around. When it comes to crowd participation, you guys definitely hit the mark. You really do. You really do. I remember when Tristan did a solo at Stella Blues. He did the Legend of Zelda solo. And all the lights just went on him, and he just went at it. I think it was like a good, 10 to 15 minutes, and then everybody was just intrigued in that whole crowd. Is it just natural chemistry when it comes to crowd participation with you guys? Because you guys definitely hit the mark when it comes to it.
It's more than just chemistry, man. It's the entire scientific process. Okay, we got electricity, we got chemistry,
right.
We got magnetism. Okay,
yes.
If you look hard enough, we got some astrophysics in there because you know we're always in the world. Like you look deep enough, and we got the penguins. That's biology. Come on now, all science is the ethos, which is Shane Penguin, my friend. Don't you forget it. Don't you forget it. Cheers.
John?
Yeah, well, look, I can't say it better than Tristan said. I will say it worse than he said it, which is that, you know, like, we're not all so we've all been playing bands, you know, on stage and stuff for a while. And I think, like, we started to realize, and this was something that happened a little bit after people started asking to take photos with the penguin and stuff like that. We realized that there was kind of something special about what we were doing for these folks. And I feel like it was after that where now is changing a little bit of our shows. And most musicians, they might not feel it's this way, but it's a fact. They play a show for themselves, right? Like you go on stage because mm-hmm. you want to be on stage and you want to play guitar or bass or drums or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I really feel like as much as our music is, that's for us. Like we're not compromising that for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
What we bring you as a show is like, we appreciate so much. Gosh, especially like this past year or so, the challenges to coming out and just spending some time with us. Like we want to make sure that like you feel better leaving this show than you came coming to it. And so everything is just pointed at the audience. And, you know, we love them. Honestly, sometimes it's like we get to see a show too when they're singing along or they're clapping along. It's incredible. But, you know, it's really self-affirming to like get that kind of energy and get to give that energy back.
That's for sure.
One of my favorite independent artists outside of you guys who always wants to push the envelope with their sound is Chesky. Do you ever think of doing any like projects with him or any other independent artists that come to mind? Because you've been around and you network with a lot of great people.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But, you know, we're always down to work with good artists, people who we respect as musicians, artists, and visionaries, you know, I think.
Well, first and foremost, I just want to touch on the performance aspect. We like to have as much fun as possible. And I think I genuinely love and respect my bandmates. And they are so musically amazing that they paint this incredible scape that I can just jump around and be completely free. And it's so comforting. So, like, total credit and respect. The only reason why I can jump around, and I shouldn't, because I am, as you say, I'm a great athlete, but I'm super out of shape. There's no physical, like, we defy, to go back to the science aspect, physics, I defy it. Like I said, I look like a heavyweight, I move like a cruiserweight. And I've said that on stage, and most people are like, I don't follow wrestling. I don't know what you're talking about. But, you know, it's that incredible, like, there's just this comfort aspect, and we do, like, it's about putting on a show. You know, I say it all the time, you have to have fun because it's called playing music. You know, come back to that room, stand in front of that mirror, you know, scream at the top of your lungs that song. And that's, to me, that's that moment. And I'm just trying to give back to the music and to the moment of that. You know, but as per like working with Chesky, which we would love to, it has to be organic.
Okay.
There's nothing that can be forced, especially when dealing with Shane Penguin. You know, that is the coolest and the, you know, we have fought with songs for months at a time to try to get it to work. And then we have those moments like Monday when Hive came together in 45 minutes. And yet it's not done and we're not ready to present it to the world. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot further along. And we now can start putting it into like a practice aspect and we can start road testing it. And that is, you know, from my military training, I always go by you practice as you fight. So when we do these practices, I'm going about it as it's a live show. You know, I'm trying, you know, as long as my back isn't killing me, I'm trying to give it 110% at the practice. And I'm trying out these different, you know, things to see if I can make these guys pop, or smile, then I know it'll translate to an audience. So these guys are actually my first audience, really. So thank you guys. But yeah,
you know, I always give 150% of my practices, jumping around, headbanging, rocking out. If I don't come out of practice drenched in sweat, and I was like, well, I got to go to the gym after. Nobody wants to do that.
Wants to go to the gym.
That is my gym.
Definitely. You guys do put a lot of cardio when it comes to doing what you do. I know you guys are great independent musicians, but I know you guys perform at different cities. But is each city different when it comes to performing? Are there some songs you just want to save, like for New Haven? Are there some songs you just want to save, like for Stratford? Is it a little bit different in between when it comes to performing?
I wouldn't say it really goes by the city as much as the outfit that we're playing with. So it's like we've played with metal bands, hip-hop acts, indie groups, punk groups. Like we've gone to underground hip-hop shows and house parties, and we play everything because we can fit with everything because we have this dynamic sound. So it's like, okay, we're playing with a bunch of hip-hop guys. We're going to play our more like hardcore, like groovy songs. And then if we're playing with like a bunch of indie guys or like some jam band, we're going to pull out our longer solo type songs, kind of fit the atmosphere. And if we're playing with two weird different bands, like here's a hip-hop guy first, and then we're in the middle and then we're closing out with a jam band, we'll start off with some hardcore stuff to like really kind of keep that mood going that he set. And then we're going to finish off with some jammy stuff so that the next band can kind of like, so we're like segueing. We think about that a lot when we build our set lists. Like I've always referenced my set lists as sandwiches, and I kind of got them to start doing it. So it's like, because I use capos a lot. So it's like, you know, if you got the Gobble Ghoul sandwich, it's like you're using different capos. It's like, you know, then you got like, there's the whole, I'm not going to get into my structures and which sandwiches correspond to which. But yeah, that's for another podcast another time. If you're behind the brand with Tristan Sandwiches, you let me know.
Tristan, can you shut off your speakers for just a second? Guys, I've never known what the sandwiches thing was about. I've never understood. I still don't understand, but it's too late for me to ask.
No, it's not happening. I'm not going to tell you yet, but one day we'll discuss it. we put a lot of thought into not just who we're playing with, how we're feeling for that day. It's not really, like I said, it's nothing really to do with the city. It's more so who we're playing with, who we're kind of expecting to have around. You know, because like we know some songs are more popular with some people. Like we have some songs about heavy drinking. We have some songs about love. And we have some songs about exes who deserve to have knives in places of their bodies. You know, good songs. But like different crowds react different stuff. So we're like, okay, here we'll play this, here we'll play that. And then we consider that as well as my capo placements in my songs. So sometimes we're like, oh, we can segue from this song to this song because mathematically speaking, if I have to go swapping my capos every 5 minutes between songs and I have to go retune in and then we're just like having, you know, it's all about flowing the set between like these three songs don't have a capo. We can play them all in a segue together. 1, 2, 3. Then we can take a break, you can change it up. So it's like a little behind the scenes thought process for our own personal advantage. If that makes sense. Right. So that
makes perfect sense.
That's like the best way that I could tell you this is how and why we do our set lists.
Now, from an outside point of view, that makes so much sense. And I like the fact, Tristan, that you said when it also comes to transition, you want to transfer a good sound for the next band playing. Because a lot of times when I go to indie shows, one band sounds completely different and there's no transition. People can't process what they just heard before into the next. So I'm happy that you're thinking of the next band.
We try. Right. You know, sometimes we jar, you know, on purpose.
it's necessary. The thing is we started kind of out and when people really started to listen, we became kind of the musicians band because like the regular public isn't necessarily like we do some weird things and some people are like, but why? But the musicians are like, wow, like, did they just do that? Did he just do that? Why would, huh? So, you know, you get that stank face sometimes that That's how you know you did a good set. When they hit you with the gas face, as third base would say. You know, and because of that, then we started to be like, okay, well, you know, we want to be able to play with as many musicians as we want, as we can, and we want to. So let's try to enhance the show. And it's
speaking
not
of the
just
show, it's behind the brand easy on WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven, myself, Prestige, and I'm gonna let you talk Easy Blues. Go right ahead.
Well, no, like it's, you know, yes, it is. We believe that the, you know, competition is amazing, but like us, we only compete with our last show, you know, and not as per like the draw or anything like that, but like, hey, this show was like, we played the best we've ever played this night. Tomorrow, we need to play even better, you know, and we need to raise that bar. We need to get, you know, just because, you know, we have that. And a lot of that is honestly dealing with, you know, working with Tristan and John, you know, it was amazing this past week in practice to spend a good 45 minutes going over harmonies, going and going over the technique behind them, and to feel confident in them, and, you know, to really focus on that. You know, I've been in bands forever. Never once did we pull out all the music and be like, okay, just four voices, go. And we're not going to stop it until it feels right. You know, so that's a huge thing. And, you know, Tristan's amazing at pulling me out of the rafters of strange. You know, I will have a tendency to be like, oh, we can just completely do this. And it'd be, and then like, ah, nah, nah, come down from the ceiling, you know, one of, yeah, well, you know, one of the songs we're going to be playing, tomorrow at Space Ballroom, opening for Wata, tickets still available. Eventbrite, or you can hit us up. But also, you know, the Happy Thoughts, mm-hmm. The chorus in there, stay in line, do what you're told, don't mind being bought or sold, come with me, together we'll soar, third star to the right, straight on till morn. Initially, that was written super, super cheesy, where the last part of it was, you know, on fluffy clouds chasing unicorns. And Tristan's like, don't ever sing that. That is atrocious. I am offended. It hurts my soul to even mention that. And he makes me push myself a little bit, take a little step outside, and to drop, you know, a Peter Pan reference, which then becomes the entire identity of the track, as per it's called Happy Thoughts, and gives me now things that I can talk about on stage while that's happening. So yeah, it's that incredible dynamic. Or to sit and watch these two have these incredible like conversations, first musically, and then they stop for a second and they have to explain to each other how musically they actually had those conversations. And then they debate for a second and then they come back and they're like, nope, this is how it is. And they're playing the exact same thing they played 25 minutes ago before the conversation happened. But they needed to rectify the intellectual side of that. And it's just gorgeous to see. And it makes you want to take that step outside of your comfort zone. It's like, there's some stuff on there that started out wise, I should not have been singing at all. But it was from the push and the try to get better. You know, a lot of people don't understand. I go from a full scream to straight melody in a flip of a coin. And that's one of the hardest things you can do to try to really maintain pitch and try to really maintain that aspect. So live, it'll start to waver, but then we start to really focus on that vocal in practice. And now live, it wavers less and less and less. Right, sir?
Yes. Next question.
John, by the way,
you're my soul brother, man. I love working on music with you. You're an intellectual.
My next question is, why Sam Jackson, guys?
Why Sam Jackson?
Why the name Sam Jackson for the song?
Why not?
That is also a great answer, my friend.
Next question.
But how big of an influence? He is really definitely a big influence on Sam Jackson as an actor and as a person. But why the name for the song? And just, you know.
Well, it's slightly a callback to the origins of Shane Penguin itself.
Okay.
When Dusty and I got together for the first time, we actually wrote three songs on the first day, not two. Let's edit that out from the earlier comment. You know, I got a good memory though. That's why I'm a guitar player. All the time, right? But so we put together three songs, and we didn't have a name yet. This is before I heard the story of who Shane Penguin is to Dustin, and how it became, you know, the band. Yeah. I talked about this in the last podcast.
Yeah.
If you guys want to know about that, go check out the last one. And you're welcome, guys. But so when we first started with those three songs, and maybe like a couple after, I think we have five or six, we had started off by naming all of them different famous people, which is why Hemingway is still called Hemingway, because originally it was Ernest Hemingway. Then we had like Lou Reed and like all these things, which, and we still have the song Uncle Lou Wants You.
Right.
It's like a army callback, but like it's still Uncle Lou because Lou Reed. But we had like a title called what do we have? The guy with the mustache there from Magnum PI. What's his name?
Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck.
Yeah, we had Tom Selleck, which was which became Orpheus in Purgatory, and so we just like that's just what we named the songs at first, because I was, you know, I like recreational activities sometimes, and you know, when we're just laughing in a room playing guitar, and just like, yeah, let's name him this. Like, I don't care, whatever. And I just like, jot that down.
One other thing
about Sam Jackson, I think, was just kind of a callback to that, because we used to name him things, and you know, we were thinking about it for a while, because we didn't know if that's like copyright problems, but we think because like there's like Samuel L. Jackson.
This could be any Sam Jackson. No, it's legally.
Yeah.
My neighbor was called Sam Jackson. That's a song about him.
It's a song that is explicitly about Tristan's old neighbor. Sam Jackson, also beyond being like a reference to a guy, you know, Tristan's neighbor, of course, is also kind of a stand-in for a phrase that you also cannot say on terrestrial radio. And you know, to that, I guess I could turn to Dusty, because you know, Sam Jackson is not two words that exist within the song, but you know, informed his lyrics for sure.
Well, there's a very popular phrase that Samuel L. Jackson says in all of his movies. It starts with mother. I'm going to leave it there. But I have children. And I also, again, like to play mental games inside my head. So in my regular life, I have actually replaced that word with Sam Jackson. And I found that every single, like, how more aggravated you are, you can use the different variations of his name. So it'd be like, you know, you stub your toe, you're like, Sam Jackson. Or like, you know, you didn't get the right amount on your tax return back, you're like, Samuel L. Jackson. Or, you know, you guys just pulled off an incredible solo in the transition, you're like, Sam Jackson, that was good. You know, and that's kind of where it came from. And then the topic of the song itself is it's actually about my brother's father, who was not in the good way a real Sam Jackson, and that's kind of where it all kind of translates and how it all connected together. And I really do hope it gets back to him, and he now understands that his name is now replacing the word that he has made so supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, at least in my head, you know.
But unfortunately, we got about 2 minutes left, and we got familiar guys' song, Sam Jackson. But just for the whole roundup of Behind the Brand for Shane Penguin, just please give out any promo you guys want to give out, with either within yourselves and the show. That's tomorrow at the Space Ballroom, 7 o'clock, doors open, 7:30. That's when the actual show begins. And a little words of advice from each one of you who wants to go for the potential route you guys are on right now. Go ahead.
Potential what we're on right now, I'm sorry?
The route.
Any advice that you want to give out to anybody who wants to go on a potential path you guys are on right now, a similar journey you guys are on right now, prospective musicians? John, I think you should go first.
Sure. I think, honestly, there's a lot when you're starting bands and you're playing about trying to look cool and trying to do the thing that sounds cool and trying to do what you think is going to fit in with your friends, with your fans, etc. And it took me a long time as a musician to realize that, like, that can bring you many things, including success, but it will not bring you happiness. And the most important thing that you can do is find musicians that you can trust as people and as musicians, learn how to listen to them. And as you build off of each other, you're going to create something amazing that you probably never thought you'd be capable of.
Yeah. It's important to listen to each other when you're making music. Well, that's true. You know, a lot of musicians, you can tell they don't like pay attention to the dynamics of each other. You know, so like if you really pay attention to how we play, and going back to what Dustin said about us being a musician's band, like a band that other musicians respect, is because they could pick up on those dynamics between the melodies that John and I harmonize over or synchronize, do different crazy stuff. And then the way Kenny will hit certain things on his drum that like I match with my picking style, like John goes in like kicking around his bass drum, and like there's very small details and you pay attention to it, but you practice together and you listen to each other and you get better. And then once you get that, you notice how much better of a band you become. And then my advice after that is, once you get that good and you start getting all the groupies, wrap it up, boys. Okay. That's it. Don't be a fool. Wrap your tool. Peace.
Easy blues.
It's no matter what, and this is kind of like the newest journey that I'm going on, is really just live in your truth, like 100%. You know, find the people that you can be the most comfortable 100% being yourself. We spend so much time wearing different masks in this world, whether it be your profession, whether it be, you know, friend groups, whether it be BTA. Very seldomly do we have the opportunity just to 100% be ourselves, and then find people around you that you can be vulnerable enough to be that. And when you find it, hold on to it no matter what, you know, and treat it as it is. Like, there is no decision that gets made that gets agreed upon in Shane Penguin then unless all four of us are into it, period. There, you know, that's what it comes down to. You know, we're never gonna, it's never a matter of, I really don't wanna, but cool, then we ain't gonna do it because it's not gonna be the proper energy there and it's just not worth it. You know, there'll be other shows, but this is Sam Jackson. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Music, Shame Penguin on Facebook, shame.penguin on Instagram. We love you so much. Pete, thank you so much. And make sure you come to the Watcher Show this Saturday at Space Ballroom. Awesome. Sam Jackson, everyone.
WNHLP 103.5 FM New Haven, behind the brand.